want to praise you, Lord. Much more than I do, I want to praise you, Lord. Much more than I do. Learn to seek your face and the knowledge of your grace. I want to praise you.
Greetings to my brothers and sisters who praise Yahweh. May the divine influence be with you. This is part 9 of Jew or Judah. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Jew or Judah is found in the Who's Who menu and the Word Studies menu. Judah in the Hebrew is Yahuda, and Judah in the Greek is Judeos. And it means those who praise Yah, so we know that these are not Jews, because Jews don't praise Yahweh. In part 8, we began the book of Acts. We saw that the same problem occurs in the Acts of the Apostles, where the Greek word Judeos was replaced with the made-up 18th century counterfeit word Jew. We already know from this study that in the Old Testament, where the Hebrew word Yahuda was replaced with Jew, it never ever identified a Jew. Yahuda identifies Judahites. Judahites are Israelites of the tribe or house of Judah. Judah was one of 6 Israelite sons of Jacob and Leah. A pure-blooded Hebrew couple cannot have 5 Israelite sons and 1 Edomite son. Judah was not an Edomite Jew. The tribe of Judah are not Jews. Judahites are not Jews. But in the New Testament, the word Jew replaced the Greek word Judeos, which is a Judahite. You have to understand that south of the land of Judah was the land of Idumea, which is where the Jews lived. Jews are children of Esau and are Edomites, and they lived in Idumea. The word Edomite is used only 20 times in Scripture, and one of those times is a translational mistake, which could be an intentional mistake. It's in Deuteronomy 23:7, and the correct word there should be H758, Aram. There are over 18 times where Scripture identifies the Edomites directly with Esau. Mount Seir, the land of Edom, and Idumea are all territories of the Edomite Jews. When the Israelites' land of the tribe of Judah was merged with the Edomite land of Idumea in the 1st century BC, it became known as Judea. If this never happened, then Judea would still have been called Judah, and the Edomite Jews of Idumea would not have been living in Judah with the Judahites. Then, everywhere in the New Testament where it says Jews, it would have read Judahites and would always be referring to Israelites. But that's not the case, because Edomite Jews also lived in the land of Judah at the time of Christ, and the land of Judah was then called Judea. So anyone living in Judea was called a Judean. This is how the Jews pulled one over on the ignorant sheep in the churches. So in the New Testament, every time you see the word Jew, it should read Judean, and it's always referring to the Israelites of the house of Judah, and sometimes to the Edomite Jews living in Judea. The reason why it's always referring to Israelite Judahites of the house of Judah is because most of them were brainwashed by the Edomite Jew priests that stole the priesthood, and the Judahites were converted to Judaism. So they were ignorant and unwitting servants of the Antichrist Jews. Yeshua was exhorting the Israelite Judeans, and at the same time, exposing and condemning the Edomite Judeans. The Israelite Judeans could be saved if they repent. The Edomite Judeans were told by Christ that they are from beneath and cannot go where he goes, because they are children of the devil. In Acts, we are seeing Jews, which should be Judeans, believing and not believing, accepting the message and persecuting the messengers. This is because the Edomite Jew Pharisees agitated the already brainwashed peoples of Judea against the disciples. We saw many different instances where the word Jews which should be Judeans, identified Judahite Israelites or Edomite Jews. Sometimes it identifies both, and sometimes either one or the other. That's why knowing some scriptural history, identity, and Greek words and meanings will vastly open your understanding, and you will comprehend the Word, which only comes by the will of the Father. We also saw in Acts that the reason the house of Judah was to receive the gospel first was not only because it was prophesied in Zechariah 12:7, but because Judah is the kingly tribe, the tribe Christ descended from, and the tribe that returned from Babylon to Jerusalem after captivity to rebuild and continue the heritage of the house of Judah. Then the gospel was spread to the scattered 10 tribes of Israel. Let's continue in Acts and separate the Jew from Judah, the Edomite from the Judahite, the dogs from the sheep, and the tares from the wheat. Ministry of Apollos, Acts 18:24, and a certain Jew, which should read, and a certain Judean named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent and learned man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Master, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Master, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Achaia and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of Elohim more perfectly. Achaia and Priscilla understood the difference between water baptism and baptism in the Word. They took Apollos aside and explained these things along with the end of the sacrifices. Many of the disciples took the water baptism of John as something Christians were supposed to do, but John's baptism was to cleanse the Levites and prepare the last sacrifice, which was Christ. This was not meant to become some ritual you do to become a Christian. Men conducting a water ritual on you does not save you, just as a sacrificial atonement did not save you. Men, water, and rituals cannot be your mediator or make you perfect. When has baptism ever given anyone knowledge and understanding? It doesn't. Yahweh gives you knowledge and understanding, and through obedience to His laws and ways, you receive the Holy Spirit. Yeshua desires obedience and understanding over rituals and sacrifices. Verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through the divine influence. For he mightily convinced the Jews, which should read, for he mightily convinced the Judeans, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Yeshua was the Christ. Apollos was received by the disciples in Achaia. He helped the people better understand the scriptures and that Christ was the Messiah. Jews were not shown that Yeshua was the Christ. They hate Christ because they are genetically anti-Christ. The Judahites of the house of Judah were convinced that Yeshua was the Anointed. Paul came to Ephesus, Acts 19:8, and when he went into the synagogue, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim. Kingdom theology, not the church doctrine of personal salvation. Verse 9, but when some were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued for the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Prince Yeshua, both Jews and Greeks. Not Jews and Greeks, Judeans and Greeks. These were Israelites of the house of Judah, living in this Greek city of Ephesus, just southwest of Turkey. Acts 19:13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the prince Yeshua, saying,
"We adjure you by Yeshua, whom Paul preaches."
Vagabond is G4022, Perrier Komahi, which is a wanderer. Cain and his descendants are the vagabonds in Scripture.
Genesis 4:12-14.
These were Jews who tried proclaiming Christ to adjure demons and were overcome by them. Verse 14. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. The priests at this time were Edomite Jews. Sceva was an Edomite Jew. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said,
"Yeshua I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?"
And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on the seven vagabonds, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house, naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews, which should read, "And this was known to all the Judeans and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Master Yeshua was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." The churches today just believe. They don't confess or show deeds. If they do confess, they confess Jewish Jesus. If they do show deeds, they are deeds done for Jewish Jesus. Verses 21 through 41 are about a riot in Ephesus. Riots are usually caused by Jews. They love to divide our people, divide and conquer. Ephesus was an idolatrous city that worshipped Diana, a goddess also known as Ishtar, where Easter comes from. Demetrius was a silversmith that made silver shrines for Diana. Paul was preaching to turn from these idols and little g gods and worship Yahweh. Demetrius called the other idol makers to see what they could do because Paul was hurting their idol business. Many of the people were offended that Paul was blaspheming their goddess. Just like we, who preach against the Judeo-Christians' little g god, Haimi Jesus, offends them. Acts 19:32. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews, which should read, the Judeans, putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand, and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, which should read, but when they knew that he was a Judean, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" The multitude of Jews included Jews and Israelites. Judeans are not just Israelites at this time, because Judea was the name of the combined territories of Judah and Idumea. Paul arrives in Greece, Acts 20:3, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews, which should read, and when the Judeans laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. These were Edomite Jew snakes, lying in wait to slay Paul. All throughout Scripture, we see the prophecy of Genesis 3:15, in which the seed of the serpent, the Canaanite and Edomite Jews, have enmity and hatred against the seed of the woman, the Israelites, lying in wait to bite our heels. Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders, Acts 20:17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and called the elders of the assembly. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Master with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews, which should read, testifying both to the Judeans and also to the Greeks, repentance and a change of mind toward Elohim and allegiance toward our Master Yeshua Christ. Paul was not witnessing to Jews. He was witnessing to Judahites of the house of Judah and to Greek Israelites. The Jews were lying in wait to slay Paul. Verse 19 are Jews. Verse 21 are Israelites. Acts 21:8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Joel 2:28.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh of Israel. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions.
Verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Spirit, So shall the Jews, which should read, So shall the Judeans at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles, which should read, And shall deliver him into the hands of the nations. Verse 11 was a prophecy of events that would happen in verse 33. Verse 12, And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. The Jews at Jerusalem that would bind Paul would be the Edomite Judeans. Paul knew he was going to be martyred for the name of Yeshua Christ. When Paul got to Jerusalem, the brethren saluted him, and Paul declared the wonderful works Yahweh performed among the dispersed Israelites by his ministry. Verse 20, And when they heard it, they glorified the Master and said unto Paul, You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews, which should read, how many thousands of Judeans there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law, and they are informed of you, that you teach all the Jews, which should read, that you teach all the Judeans, which are among the nations, to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after their customs. The thousands of Jews that believed and were zealous for the law were not Jews. These were Israelite Judeans that woke up from the Jewish matrix of deceit and realized they were deceived. They then changed their ways and became zealous for the Torah. They wanted to return to their Israelite heritage and obedience to their God. They understood John 14:15, If you love me, keep my commandments. These renewed Christians didn't just believe. Notice, they were zealous for the Torah, the law. This was 25 years after Christ was resurrected and ascended, and people were zealous for the law. So why do today's churches teach that the law was done away with? Why are the churches antinomians, which means against the law? Because the churches are no different than the synagogues of the first century, in which they were following Jewish teachings, decrees, and fables. The people of Jerusalem thought Paul was teaching against the law. He wasn't. Paul was teaching that the sacrifices were done away with, not the Torah. Only the priesthood, its rituals, and sacrifices were done away with. The churches are ignorant of this and teach that we are not under the law anymore because of grace, and that we can also eat unclean animals now, and that all we have to do to be saved is to accept Jewish Jesus and just believe. Paul took men who had taken a vow. Acts 21:26. Then Paul took the men and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple, to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which should read, the Judeans, and in this case are referring to the Edomite Judean agitators, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out,
Men of Yisrael, help! This is the man that teaches all, everywhere, against the people, and the law, and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and has polluted this holy place.
For they had seen before, with him in the city, Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. The Greeks were of the dispersed nations of Israel, and considered common or profane by the Judeans. Paul was also teaching that the sacrificial rituals were not needed anymore. They were fulfilled by Christ. The Jews, in verse 27, that stirred up the people, were Jews. Paul is arrested by the Romans because of the mob in the temple. He is mistaken for one of the Sicarii, a rebellious group of murderers. Acts 21:39. But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no insignificant city, and I beseech you, allow me to speak unto the people. Paul was not a Jew. Paul was a citizen of Rome, which no Jew could be, and because of his citizenship, he was granted license to speak. Acts 22:1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear you my defense which I make now unto you. Paul would not have called Jews men, brethren, or fathers. Verse 3. I am verily a man which am a Jew, which should read, I am verily a man which am a Judean, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the Torah of the fathers, and was zealous toward Elohim, as you all are this day. He goes on to explain that as a Pharisee he persecuted Christians unto death by the authority of the Jewish Edomite high priest. He tells of his conversion on the road to Damascus. Verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the Torah, having a good report of all the Jews, which should read, having a good report of all the Judeans which dwelt there, came unto me and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The Elohim of our forefathers has chosen you, that you should know his will, and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. Ananias was not a Jew, and the good report of him was not from Jews. Ananias and the people with the good report were Judeans, or Judahites, dwelling in Damascus. Yahweh is not the God of the Jewish forefathers. Yahweh is the God of the forefathers of Israel. The Jews' father is Cain, the son of the devil. Paul, before the council, Acts 22:30, on the morrow, because the captain intended to know for certainty why he was accused of the Jews, he loosed Paul from his bands, and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. The Edomite Jews were the accusers of Paul, because Paul spoke the truth. Plot to kill Paul, Acts 23:12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews, which should read, certain of the Judeans, banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. These were 40 Edomite Jews banding together to kill Paul. they were likely of Herod's association of the mysterious force, which became Freemasonry, which is a network of antichrists seeking to destroy Christianity. Paul's sister's son overheard the Jews' plan and told Paul. Paul then asks one of the centurions to bring his nephew to the captain. Verse 20. And Paul's nephew said, "The Jews," which should read, "the Judeans," which is a reference to the Edomite Judeans, "have agreed to desire you that you would bring Paul down tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not you yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from you." The chief captain then ordered 200 soldiers to bring Paul safely to Felix, the governor, with a letter saying, verse 27,
"This man was taken of the Jews, and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to you, and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before you what they had against him. Farewell."
It should be obvious by now that these were actual Jews trying to kill Paul. Paul before Felix at Caesarea. Ananias, the Edomite Jew high priest, arrived and began accusing Paul before Felix. Acts 24:5.
"For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the society, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes."
And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. These were likely Israelite as well as Edomite Judeans agreeing with Ananias, because many of the Israelite Judeans were ignorantly following the Jews, just like today's churchgoers do. Just like our people today who believe our government is run by Americans. It is dual citizen Jewish Americans that can hide in Israel when they get caught doing wickedness. Paul defends himself and states that he did nothing wrong by teaching the truth. Verse 17. "Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings." Paul's nation is a reference to his people, Israelites. Verse 18. "Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult." Acts 21:17-28 was a peaceful and joyful gathering of Israelite Judeans, not Jews. Paul was speaking to his Israelite kinsmen of the gospel being accepted by thousands of Israelite Judeans. The Jews from Asia were the ones that stirred up the people because they were jealous, envious, and being exposed as frauds. Verse 22. "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of the way, he deferred them and said, When Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him." Felix was not blind. He saw that the Jews were false accusers. Paul held in custody. Verse 24. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess," which should read, "which was a Judaitis, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the belief in Christ." Felix was starting to understand the faith, or the belief, but his faith was not deeply rooted, and he was more concerned with the money he could make through bribes on account of Paul. Verse 27. "But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Whether Drusilla, Felix's wife, was a Jewess or not is uncertain. The Romans were Judahites, so she was likely a Judahite and not a Jewess. Jews could not be citizens of Rome. The Jews Felix was willing to show pleasure were Edomite Jews. Paul appeals to the emperor, Acts 25:1. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews, which should read, the chief of the Judeans, informed him against Paul, and besought him, and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. The Edomites were trying to get Paul back to Jerusalem to be tried, so they could kill him there. Festus denied his release. Jews, in verse 2, would be all peoples of Judea, because the Edomite Jews were the counterfeit priesthood over all of Judea, which included Jews and Israelites. Verse 7, and when he was come, the Jews, which should read, the Judeans, which is a reference to the Edomite Judeans, which came down from Jerusalem, stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. Jews, in verse 8, would be Judahites, because law is Torah, which was given to Israelites. Paul did nothing wrong against the Torah, the temple, or against Caesar. The Jews perverted the Torah into the Talmud and accused Paul of going against their authority. Verse 9, but Festus, willing to do the Jews, which should be, willing to do the Judeans, which is a reference to the Edomite Jew Sadducees, a pleasure, answered Paul and said, will you go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, which should read, to the Judeans, have I done no wrong, as you very well know. Paul again turns down the offer to be judged in Jerusalem, because he knows the Jews there will kill him. Festus is compelled to send Paul to Caesar. Meanwhile, Agrippa too came to Caesarea to salute Festus, who then informs Paul's cause to Agrippa II. Agrippa II is the son of Agrippa I. Agrippa I is the Agrippa of the earlier chapters of Acts. The book of Acts covers 30 years of events from Christ's ascension to Paul's arrest. Festus tells Agrippa II that Paul had been in bonds by Felix the governor. Verse 15,
about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews,
which should read, the elders of the Judeans, which is referencing the Edomite Judeans, the Sadducees.
They informed me, desiring to have judgment against him.
Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself.
Tomorrow, said he, you shall hear him.
The sect of the Sadducees, which were all Edomite Jews, hated Paul because Paul exposed them several times, especially on the subject of the resurrection, which the Sadducees believe there is no afterlife. Paul brought before Agrippa too. Verse 23, and on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' command Paul was brought forth. And Festus said,
King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews,
which should read, all the multitude of the Judeans,
have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem, and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer.
Paul uses this opportunity to be heard by the Israelites in attendance. Jews, in verse 24, includes Jews and Israelites, hence the multitude of Judeans. Paul defends himself before Agrippa too. Acts 26:1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, You are permitted to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before you concerning all the things where I am accused of the Jews, which should read, concerning all the things where I am accused of the Judeans, which is a reference to the Edomite Jew Sadducees, especially because I know you to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, which should read, among the Judeans. Wherefore I beseech you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, known all the Jews, which should read, known all the Judeans, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of Elohim unto our forefathers. The promise unto the forefathers can be traced from Genesis 3:15, 22:18, and 26:4. These were promises made to Israelites, which are not Jews. Verse 2, Paul is accused by the Edomite Sadducees. Verses 3 through 4 are speaking of Judeans, both Israelites and Jews. Verse 7, Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving Elohim day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Agrippa II was the grandson of Herod. Agrippa II's father, Agrippa I, was the Agrippa of the earlier chapters of Acts. Agrippa I is said to have founded the association called the Mysterious Force, which later became known as Freemasonry. These Herods were Edomite Jews from Idumea, as Josephus attests. Paul goes on to recount his conversion on the road to Damascus, which is also a vision of his mission to bring the gospel to all Israelites. Paul tells of his preaching, verse 19, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, which should read, and then to the dispersed nations of Israel, that they should repent and think differently, and turn to Elohim, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. The Jews that wanted to kill Paul were Edomite Jews. Paul arrives in Rome, Acts 28:17, and it came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together, which should read, Paul called the chief of the Judeans together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men, brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our forefathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews, which should read, but when the Judeans, which is a reference to the Edomite Sadducees, spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had anything to accuse my nation of. Paul, in verse 17, is speaking to Israelite Judeans, as he calls them men, brethren, and mentions the forefathers. In verse 19, Paul is speaking of the Edomite Judeans. Paul preaches while under house arrest in Rome, Acts 28:23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Elohim, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit by Yeshayahu the prophet unto our forefathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say,
Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them.
Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of Elohim is sent unto the Gentiles, which should read, that the salvation of Elohim is sent unto the dispersed nations, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. These were not Jews, they were Israelites. Some believed, some didn't. Not everyone accepts the truth, especially if their default thinking has been reset by Jewish reprogramming. Just look at how all the churches do not accept the truth. The churches are drowning in falsehood and ignorance. Paul's epistle to the Romans was to Israelites in Rome, who were mostly of the Zara branch of Judah. He begins his letter by addressing the lineage of these Romans with the seed of David. Paul calls them brethren and called to hear the gospel, because many Israelites are called, but few are chosen. The power of the gospel. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Elohim unto salvation, to everyone that believes and entrusts their being to Yeshua, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. To the Jew first is not referring to the Jew. Jews don't believe in the gospel, don't accept Yeshua Christ, and they hate Yahweh and we Israelites. Paul didn't preach to the Jews, he preached to Israelites. The Judahite Judeans were Israelites of the house of Judah. Many of the Greeks were Israelites of the houses of Judah and Israel. In chapter 2, Paul is teaching about the righteous judgment of God and that we should avoid unrighteous judgment of each other. Romans 2:8. But unto them that are intrigued by evil and do not believe or are willfully disobedient to the truth, but are persuaded to unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. This is not of the Jew and of the Gentile. Jew is a made-up word, and Gentiles is a Latin word with a made-up, fake, non-Jew meaning. Paul is talking about anguish upon the souls of those that do evil, of the Judahite first, and also of the rest of the tribes of Israel living among the Greeks. Gentiles usually replaces the Hebrew goyim and the Greek ethnos. But here, in verse 9, Gentiles replaces the word Hellene, which is referring to Israelites in Greece. The Judeans first, because they had the law and should have known better, and also of the nations, meaning the dispersed 10 tribes of Israel, because they were children of the covenant as well. Verse 10, But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no partiality with Elohim. Judgment begins at the house of God. The house of Judah was the kingly tribe and the ones who continued their heritage and kept the Torah. That's why they were first to be judged and first to be glorified. The Greeks were not Gentiles. The word is Hellene, and is a reference to the Israelites living in Greece. These were some of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Judea witnessed Yeshua Christ and heard the gospel firsthand. The other nations of scattered Israelites received the gospel soon after. Paul goes on to explain that all Israelites are sinners. All Israelites are cleansed by Yeshua's blood. The scattered Israelites who didn't have the law and the Judahites in Judea who had the law are both cleansed when they repent, and they do that which is written in the law. The Judahites in Judea followed the written law because they knew it and were justified by it. The scattered Israelites outside Judea did not know the law, but the ones that followed the law written on their hearts were justified by their actions. The Judeans and the Torah, Romans 2:17. Behold, you are called a Jew, which should read, Behold, you are called a Judean, and rest on the law, and make your boast of Elohim, and know his will, and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, which is the Torah, and are confident and trusting in yourself, that you yourself are a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the Torah. Paul is explaining to the Judahites who practiced the Torah that they should practice what they preached. Unless they followed the Torah, they were hypocrites. Paul explained to these hypocrite Judahites that the scattered Israelites who didn't know the Torah, but followed the Torah by heart and nature, would judge those who had the Torah and did not follow it. Verse 28, For he is not a Jew, which should read, For he is not a Judean, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which should read, But he is a Judean, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Elohim. The Edomite Pharisee Jews were using circumcision and the Torah to claim they were Judahites, but they were not Judahites or Israelites. Edomites were not circumcised until John Hyrcanus compelled them to be, around 121 BC. This is when the Edomite territory of Idumea was merged with the territory of Judah. Basically what happened was the devil's children and their land was merged with God's children and their land. The circumcision is the house of Judah,
Judah, Benjamin, and Levi,
who lived in Judea. These are the Israelite remnant that returned with the Torah and their heritage to Judea after the Babylonian captivity. These are Judahites. These are not Jews. And besides, Jews were never in bondage to any man, as you very well should know by now. The uncircumcision is the house of Israel,
the other tribes of Israel, Dan, Simeon, Reuben, etc.,
who lived all over outside of Judea. These were Israelites that either left Egypt before the Exodus experience, left after the Assyrian captivity, or left after the Babylonian captivity, hence forgot their heritage. That's why they are called the lost tribes. That's why Yeshua said for his disciples to go unto the lost sheep of the house of scattered Israelites and remind them of who they are and whose they are. Romans 3:1. What advantage, then, has the Jew, which should read, What advantage, then, has the Judean, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto the circumcision were entrusted the oracles of Yahweh Elohim. The circumcision is the house of Judah, the ones who still retained the oracles of God, because they returned from captivity to Jerusalem and continued their heritage. But because they had the oracles of God and continued their heritage does not mean that they were righteous. None is righteous. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Meaning, Are we Judahites better than the Greeks? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands, there is none that seeks after Elohim. Paul was not saying, are we Jews better than the Gentiles? Paul was saying, are we Judahites who have some knowledge of who we are better than those Greek Israelites who don't know who they are? Both houses of Judah and of scattered Israel were under sin. Paul goes on to explain that even though the house of Judah sacrificed, they still were not justified and absolved from sin, because the sacrifices were only temporary atonements. But now, since Yeshua Christ was the last sacrifice, the sacrificial rituals were done away with, and repentance and obedience is what must be done, along with a change of lifestyle. The only way to be cleansed now is to obey the gospel, obey the commandments, and live according to the belief, not the many other beliefs that are not the belief. Today we have 33,000 other denominational beliefs claiming Christianity. They are all not the belief. They are other beliefs, other doctrines, other Jesuses, other paths to salvation, all of which are not part of the belief. It matters what we believe. Paul explains that through Christ's blood, our past sins are forgiven. We must continue in the belief if we want to remain forgiven. When we do sin, we must come to Yeshua for forgiveness, not to some priest, and not through some ritual or sacrifice. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by belief without the deeds of the blood rituals. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by belief, and uncircumcision through the belief.
I'll read that with the correct words.
Is he the God of the Judahite Judeans only? Is he not also of the scattered nations of Israel? Yes, of the scattered nations of Israel also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, the Judeans, by belief, and uncircumcision, the dispersed, through the belief. In verse 9, Paul uses Hellene, where the translators put Gentiles. Here in verse 29, Paul used ethnos, where the translators used Gentiles. Gentiles is another word that does not belong in the Bible. Paul, in both cases, is speaking about scattered Israelites, Israelites living among the Greeks, and Israelites living among all the nations. Yahweh is the God and justifier of both the circumcised and the uncircumcised Israelites. Circumcision by belief, because they experienced the giving of the law in the Exodus. Uncircumcision through the belief, because they missed out on the giving of the law in the Exodus, and must go through the education of the law and their heritage and learn about the belief. Verse 31. Do we then make void the Torah through the belief? God forbid. Yea, we establish the Torah. Faith does not void the law, it establishes it. The churches voided the law. They are ignorant of the fact that only the priesthood and its ritual ordinances were made void. They don't understand this, and instead made it all about being able to eat pork and unclean animals, and that because they believe in a Jewish Jesus, they are not under the law anymore. The law is still in effect. In verse 29, Yahweh is not the God of the Jews. He is the God of the house of Judah and the God of the Greek Israelites. Yahweh is the God of all Israelites, both of Judah and of scattered Israel. Lucifer is the God of the Jews and of those of our race that hate Yahweh. Jaime Jesus is the God of the churches, and all of those of our race that know not Yahweh. They have never been taught Scripture, the truth, who they are, and whose they are. Sure, the churchgoers can recite verses by memory and seem like they are Christian, but they don't know anything, and what they do know cannot be backed up by Scripture. They believe in some other belief. They think they are Gentiles. They think Jews are Israelites. They think salvation cannot be taken away from them when they've already given it up by giving their lives over to an apostate religion and to a Jewish Jesus who is giving them rapture tickets to Gehenna. They just don't know it yet, and unless they come to the truth, they will remain separated with the goats. Yahweh is the one who draws you, and if you are stiff-necked and brainwashed and don't even examine what these churches are teaching you, you will never show Yahweh that you are drawable. Yahweh will not draw a Jewish Jesus worshiper to him unless you abandon Jewish Jesus and his 33,000 synagogues of satanic Judaism called Judeo-Christianity. Paul again reiterates that these Romans were of the seed of Abraham. He reminds them that they are children of the promises made with Abraham, that Yahweh God chose Isaac through whom we are called, that Yahweh is the potter, and out of one lump, meaning Isaac, came the vessels of honor and the vessels of dishonor. This was an allegory of Jacob and Esau, Jacob being the vessels of mercy and Esau the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Yahweh states he hated Esau and his descendants, who are Edomite Jews. Romans 9:23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory unto the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, which should read, not of the Judahite Judeans only, but also of the dispersed nations of Israel. As he said also in Hosea,
I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved.
Hosea 2:23,
and I will sow her unto me in the land, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my Elohim.
Verse 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. The churches teach this is about the church becoming God's people. These prophecies in Hosea are about Israelites, not of the church or Gentiles. The churches don't understand that Israel was divorced by Yahweh in 745 BC when he had enough of his cheating wife. He sent the Assyrians and Babylonians to scatter them and to take them captive. This was a purging of the unrighteous Israelites and a preserving of the faithful ones during captivity. The ones that were scattered and survived are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This was also a sowing of his people in all the nations, who later, when they heard the gospel, would grow in it. They would return to Yahweh, remember the name they are called by, and continue in the way, and witness to other lost sheep. We are not called his people today, because we've all been fooled, or swooned, into believing the Jews are his people, and the churches have taught our people to identify as trans-Gentiles. Scripture makes sense when you understand history, prophecy, identity, and the truth. Sadly, the churches are
blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded?